Yes, hello folks, welcome to the weekly Manchester United show, the very, very first one of the season, I suppose you could call it that. We've taken the summer off, first summer off, I think, in about 10 years, so really enjoyed that. I had some medical issues to take care of, and I've been taking care of those, and I'm delighted to be joined here with my regular co-host and partner, Martin Warwick. Martin, how you doing, mate?
Yeah, I'm doing very well, Phil. Good to be back, and I wish I could say I was really excited for what's in store, but I think it's otherwise at the moment.
Yes, we'll get there. Folks, if you're not following us on Twitter, follow at Beyond the Pitch, or you can follow me and Martin directly at MWallwork7 or at Malakans. Give us a follow, give us a couple of comments on what you want us to discuss on these podcasts going forward. Some exciting guests coming up. So thanks to all of you who download the show, and thanks for your patience over the summer. Martin, there's so much to talk about, of course. Mourinho, it's funny because you either love him or you hate him. There's very little in between. And there's such a fight right now between the commentary amongst United supporters about how to defend Mourinho. His comments have not gone down well, or what he said over the summer. It's not the first time United have come to the United States and been criticised for not bringing high-end players. This happened in 2004. We'll talk about that a bit later. But what have you made of Mourinho's comments?
Personally, it's disgusting. Some of the stuff, the transfer stuff is the transfer stuff. I think there's two separate issues here. Now, I understand the transfer issues and you know, the debacle that seems to follow us every single summer these days with our transfer policy and how the recruitment and the scouting of players and individuals. And then there's the comments that he came out with post-game against Liverpool here pre-season about the kids and about the squad and about certain individuals that just don't sit well with me at all. To sit there and publicly bash the kids who are on tour, show no faith in them whatsoever. You know, they're not my players. They're not my squad. This squad won't be here. These kids won't be here. They won't be playing. What can that possibly do to a squad? What can that possibly get out of these kids? And you know, if they didn't think they had any hope of making it before, well, I mean, I don't really know what you expect them to do and where they go from here.
This is a really important point because by no means should Alex Ferguson be held up as the example of how every manager should at United should behave. But
no,
he was very good at certain things. And even he knew, look, most of the kids at this club are not going to make it. But we'll get them a career in football. We'll get them a club somewhere else. And most of them won't make it. What's the benefit of taking young kids like Angel Gomez, that are coming on this tour, 17, 16-year-olds, 18-year-olds, that are all at the start of their career, that are all incredibly fragile, that are getting slaughtered. Imagine how embarrassing that is. And some of the mitigating factors that people are talking about on social media about, oh, well, Luke Shaw says he's a different person in private. Let me explain something to you. This is the wrong way round. If Mourinho wants to criticise players in private but defend them publicly, that's what should be happening.
Absolutely.
Not the other way around. Not, oh, he criticises me in public but defends me in private. The reason for that, once you criticise a player in public, you immediately talk to every single fan at that football club. And that's how you turn fans against players. Now, if you want to come out and defend the player publicly, then go ahead. And you want to criticize him personally, privately, that's fine. That's called don't wash your dirty laundry in public. So Mourinho is dead wrong with that strategy.
Now, look, I'm just reading something. I just want to point out a stark difference here. And you can say what you want about Pep, but this is what Pep had to say after the game yesterday. He says, "You cannot imagine how I've enjoyed these 10 days with these guys," said a thrilled Guardiola. "The young players have desire. They are starving to become football players. They are hungry. Work with them and you say something, they open their eyes and they listen. They are, and listen to because they want to make a career. They are 17, 18, 19 years old. We played with just one or two pros in the first time. We did what we have done in spite of the results. It was so happy for me the way we played. I gave credit when we were 2-0 down against Bayern and never got down. It's not easy to have high intensity and humidity, but I am so satisfied we gave a solid 90 minutes." Now, what do those young kids come away with? "Oh, man, look, the boss believes in us. Don't care about the results. It doesn't matter that we had X amount of players away at World Cup." I've got news for you, Jose. So has everybody. It's a World Cup year. This is what you have to deal with. Yeah. Stop worrying about, and this is basic, coach. Don't worry about who's not there. You worry about who is there. Well, and you coach those individuals. It's the constant excuses and the throwing the toys out the pram because we've not given you another 250 million to waste. Because quite frankly, I mean, he can't say he hasn't been backed. He cannot say he hasn't been backed in the transfer market. Fact remains, we're still looking at starting the same back four, back five as Sir Alex Ferguson's last year. He's brought in three defenders, none of which he seems to have any faith in. He's had players he's bought leave. So, yes, has he been backed as much as, you know, the Sheiks are back in City? No, but I think that's a poor benchmark to set because nobody's going to be back like them. Yes, you want the players that you want to make it work. I understand that. But there's nothing I'm seeing that proves that he warrants another 250 million to splash in the transfer market when there is zero, in my eyes, zero improvement in style, in quality, in strategy, tactically. I don't see a difference.
Well,
so stop moaning about what you don't have, and how about coaching what you do have, and you know, and believing in the young kids coming through instead of completely bashing them to the point where who knows how this affects them mentally for you know, months, years to come.
But Martin, Man City's not an excuse either because they got Alexis Sanchez ahead of Man City, did they not? They got Fred ahead of Man City, did they not? Let's assume Man City don't exist for a second. There's nothing Mourinho did last season that's remotely acceptable. His comments after games when United lost was always an attempt to separate himself from the failure and make sure that the success is about him. That what Mourinho is doing now isn't about what Manchester United are doing. It's about his next job. It's about him advertising to potential employers. What's going on here has nothing to do with me. This has to do with the hierarchy at the football club. And this is the message he's been sending out from halfway through last season. The failures at this football club are not mine. They're the board's. They're the people that have worked here for years. They're the people that have always been here, not me. I bring success. They bring failure. That's a very, very, very clear message. And that means his attempt to separate himself from failure constantly. Jose, they're your players. Let's take a look at what you've done. Mkhitaryan, what happened there? He's your signing. You're completely responsible for his failure. Victor Lindelof, what happened there? £30 million defender. Hasn't looked anywhere close to that. Had improved a bit towards the end of the season. I still think there's a fantastic player in him. Eric Bailly. Why were both Bailly and Lindelof on the bench for the cup final? £60 million worth of defenders that you bought. Take a look at your other signings. Lukaku has been exceptional. I will give him that. Pogba, we're still arguing about a potential Ballon d'Or winner, what his best position is at Manchester United. Yeah. That is ridiculous. Ridiculous. Right? And it would be easier, you know, we talk about this guy's coming to free up Pogba. It'd be easier to free up Chapo Guzman. Because every time United signs somebody, it's to free up Pogba. Fred was to see Philip Pogba. Malich was to free up Pogba. Who else? So, you know, we're sitting here and I'm looking at Mourinho's signings and I'm going, they're not exactly convincing me that you are improving this football club. He certainly improved it in terms of standing, in terms of results, no question. But it's still nowhere near good enough. And if I was in a meeting with Mourinho, he certainly deserves to be back. Martin, while he's Manchester United manager, he should be back. You either back him or sack him. It's as simple as that. There's no excuse for half measures. But I would remind him, look, hey, what you've done isn't exactly convincing. So forget that Man City existed a minute because that has nothing to do with you playing two defensive midfielders against West Brom at home in the bottom of the league. That has nothing to do with the garbage that we see week in, week out that's barely unwatchable. And for anybody criticising me, it took me a year and a half to criticise Mourinho. For the first year and a half, I supported him. So it's not like a knee-jerk thing. What irks me the most, Martin, after Sevilla, that game at home, that was really the moment where the way performance was cowardice beyond belief, but that was really the moment where I said, "That's it, I'm done with this man."
Yeah, I'm there. I mean, it's you can put up with so much if you're delivering trophies and if you're delivering results, people are willing to put up with so much.
Yep.
But the comments and the attitude, and it's too much, and there's too much of it all the time. And it's, as you said, it's a separation between him and the team. If the team play well, it's because I did this. If Luke Shaw plays well, it's because I was on the touchline telling him exactly what to do, where to. When he plays poorly, he's gone. He's out of the squad. He's being ridiculed in public. And I'm by no means here letting these players off. Paul Pogba,
of course.
We saw what Paul Pogba can do in a World Cup. He took over that World Cup quarterfinals onwards. You know, it was absolutely fantastic. Where are those performances? But it starts at the top. It really does start at the top. And these kind of comments, and I don't understand what's to gain? You can see where it's gone wrong in several instances in several clubs now. In this, we're right about crunch time, right? Mm-hmm. Where the separation in the locker room, and you know, the unrest and the separation between player and manager is happening, and it's just not. It's just not good, and it's not going to end well. And at this point, you can quite well see him being out by Christmas.
I can see him being out before then. And United have a serious problem here, Martin, because what's coming true in front of their very eyes is the thing that they feared the most. What happens when Mourinho goes into meltdown, as he inevitably does? What happens then? Because before that NDA gets signed, when Mourinho gets sacked and isn't allowed to criticize a football club, he's going to want to make sure that he pins squarely the blame on United's failures on somebody else. And the man in his sights is Ed Woodward. And if he doesn't get at least one more player by the end of this window, which I'm quite confident he will, then get ready. Because he will unload. He will unload on Woodward. He will unload on the football club. And United are going to be in a situation where this man is asking them to sack them in every other way but asking them. And United don't want to do that. They really don't want to do that. But they can't have a guy that, to me, already is guilty of bringing the football club and its reputation into dispute. Now, in saying that, let's not pretend he's the only problem at the club.
Oh, absolutely. Okay?
Mm-hmm. Because in his defense, Martin, transfer fees have nothing to do with Mourinho. He just tells them what players they need to improve as a football club. What they pay for them is down to the club. But there is a distinct difference between a 70, 80 million pound football and a 20 million pound one. So if you're asking for 70, 80 million pound players, it's fair enough you needed to say, okay, well, we want a return on that. And they're not getting it yet. Second place was a ruse because it was dreadful to watch. And I think that the Premier League second is still up for grabs. Liverpool have bought well, but I'm still not convinced. But in his defence, look, the owners of this football club have business goals, and Mourinho has football goals. And you're seeing what happens when the two collide. The Glazers are looking at United going, we should have enough to finish in the top four. That's really all we care about. If we win the league, great, it's a bonus. But in reality, we'd rather see a healthy balance sheet than a healthy trophy cabinet. That's reality, right? So they want to count their money. They don't want to count trophies. And so when you're saying, they're now saying, oh, he doesn't have to sell to buy. That's just absolutely untrue. He's had to do that entire summer.
Mm-hmm.
And so he's been put in a situation where United really don't have too many sellable assets in terms of we can get decent money for him, right? And the ones that they do have, they've done well to sell. I mean, Mourinho, to be fair to him, Martin, has sold a lot of players for United.
And he's moved on a lot of players.
He certainly has. And he's done well to cull a lot of dead wood that I wished other managers had have done, because it's not all negative, right? But the start of last season, I was extremely behind him, because the football that we were watching was magnificent. This was the Man United I want to see. And by the way, if United start the season like that, I'll go back to supporting and getting behind him as long as he changes the way he talks about this football club and what we see on the pitch. I don't have anything personal against the guy, but history is the biggest predictor of the future. And when we look at what Mourinho does in his last season, especially when he hasn't have control over recruitment, then comes the meltdown, and it's really difficult to see any other outcome than this turning extremely sour.
Well, and that's that could be where some of the issues lie, in that they're so unsure of, you know, the future. I mean, knowing the track record, do we want to hand the guy this list of five players, so-called five players, and we know them five players aren't going to be £20 million footballers. You know, those five players are probably 60, 70, 80 million pound footballers, right? So you're asking for 300-400 million, and some of those players are unrealistic. I mean, if you think you're going to convince Rafa Varane to come home from Real Madrid after they've just sold Ronaldo, you know, that's unrealistic. So that's an unrealistic target to begin with. But you look at some of the transfer targets. You know, if Harry Maguire is true, and the fee now, what? It's going to take at least 50, right? It's going to take 60, 70 million, I would imagine, now, to get Harry Maguire over, if that is a target. Now, We were haggling, and the board was haggling over 5 million for Perisic last year. So this is where Jose's got a serious gripe. If 5 million cost us Perisic, and you look how wonderful Perisic was in the World Cup, and now we're going to be forced to spend almost double that on a centre-back. You know, the incompetence in the market is incredible. Absolutely incredible. Now, rumours have it, that we spoke about yesterday, that, United were mulling over Harry Maguire back in May for, 25, 30 million?
35 million.
So now that fee's doubled. But, you go back to the Fellaini and the millions extra we paid on Fellaini because we dipped around in the market. The incompetence is truly astonishing from a club of this size. So that's where Jose does have his gripes.
Yeah.
However, you're still looking at a squad that when managed correctly, coached correctly, man-managed correctly, tactically sound, is a team that could compete. And I'm not buying otherwise. Get on with your job. Shows you can coach a team and not bring in a bunch of players, and it has to be a certain player for a certain system and your system. Because it's simply untrue. There's talent there. And I want to see you get the best out of these players before you start bashing them.
I will say one thing in his defense. A trait of a Jose Mourinho team is strong starts. And his preseason preparation is usually impeccable. And if you look back at when Mourinho won his first two titles at Chelsea, Fergie said after it, they kept catching us out with strong starts. Chelsea would hit the ground running. And his teams always hit the ground running. You see it his first season at United. They were burning up until they played Man City. You see it second season, burning up until we played Liverpool. Right? His teams always start strong. So he will find it extremely frustrating that he can't prepare this United team the way he would want to. But again, this is a guy that in his last two seasons has made excuses for the last four or five games of the season that they're really not worth much. That is unacceptable. This is a football club that every Premier League game matters. I want to see, there's players, if you're going to play players because, or to leave players out because they're playing for other teams in the World Cup, that's unacceptable. That you're manager of Manchester United, not Belgium, not anywhere else, which I don't believe he was doing anyway. But it's always an excuse. And so for me, I think, and it's just to slightly defend him, I think it will drive him nuts that he can't prepare his team in preseason the way he likes to prepare them, to be ready for a quick start.
For sure.
But he's not alone there. And United have players at the World Cup. So just on that, let me ask you finally about the players. Do the players bear any responsibility for what we're seeing on the pitch?
Oh, yes. You don't go and kick a ball for them. However, I look at the likes of Ashley Young. I can't remember which game it was, and I was speaking to a friend of mine back home. 62 minutes it was for the first overlap. Now, I see a team sitting so deep for the majority of games and sitting on 1-0 leads. And then time and again, I've heard at full time, I don't know what we were doing. We weren't pressing. We weren't stepping up. We were too deep. We were defending.
Yep.
That's not a coincidence. That's another excuse. You set the tactics. You set the team up. And there's no way for 25, 30 of the games that we sat deep, the players just chose that they were going to sit deep and completely ignore everything that you had done in the 6 days prior in training or 3 days prior in training. So, yes, the players can be guilty of their attitude on the pitch and when the ideas aren't there. It's the depressing feel around the club, the negativity around the club. It's tough to perform, and it's tough to perform when you know that you can perform and then be out of the team for the next 2 or 3 weeks. I.e., Marcus Rashford bangs in two against Liverpool at home, doesn't start the next game. Luke Shaw, the few occasions he did, seemed to do well. He praised him for doing well. Doesn't see the field for another 2 or 3 weeks. So there's a huge negativity, and it just, to me, stinks of the players do not want to play for this guy. They don't like the negativity. There's a coming together of how we expect to play and how we're being asked to play. So that's resulting in what seemingly is a complete lack of ideas on the field, and it's kind of make it up as we go along when we get in the final third. So yes, the players do bear some responsibility, but look, ultimately it's the coach, it's the manager who sets the team up. It's him who asks to play a proper way. And take for example my 7 or 8 year olds who won a tournament this weekend. You could see a specific style and how exactly we wanted to go about the game, and the players played for me. Now It's they don't just all of a sudden decide. If I can get 7 or 8 year olds to follow a system and play, then you know then we have a problem.
Well, there's a couple of clues here, Martin, that gives you an idea. You know, United, what are United admired for around the world? For the business acumen, right? Every football club around the world tried to copy the Man United model. This is how you monetize a football club. United are impeccable. They are ahead of the field. This is how you generate revenue with a football club. They're not admired for the football anymore. Now, they're still a football club, obviously, with one of the greatest reputations in the world. But as things currently stand, very few people are looking at Old Trafford and going, football's great to watch, and the business is great to watch. The football isn't, which tells you a lot about United's priorities. And given something as simple as filling out visa paperwork for Alexis Sanchez, right? You're going on the preseason tour. He's one of the few forwards you have available, and you can't get his paperwork right. Listen, it's not new for United to come out here and have visa problem. Paddy Curran couldn't get in 2 years ago with visa problems. You telling me that United didn't know US law? You're telling me that they only found out that the day Sanchez was going to go that there might be a problem? You don't employ lawyers to do this for you so that you can see, oh, potential conflict? Because I can tell you right now, Martin, as a casual immigrant, the crime of moral turpitude is something I'm well familiar with, and what can get you refused admission to America. So I refuse to believe that incompetence would never be found on the business side. United just wouldn't be that lax. Javier Ribalta, perfect example. Ribalta left. Ribalta had virtually no input whatsoever in transfers. He reported the Glazers. That's it. He didn't do anything with Woodward. Didn't do anything with Mourinho. He walked away because he had no ability. And again, the football side, once again, is almost a consequence of the business. And United's priority is profit, profit, profit. So that's fine. But some football clubs have a vision of profit only, but they'd want to achieve profit through football, through winning trophies, through the reputation of winning trophies, through players. It's not how Manchester United are run. And Martin, part of the problem here is this is a football club that's trying so hard to close the gap so fast by spending big over the summer and not implementing a plan over a 3-4 year period and saying, we will get there. But this is what it's going to take, because every year seems like we're ripping it up again. No progress.
No,
mate.
It's just so reactionary, and what seems towards it, the process isn't there. The longevity and the eye to the future, and this is how we're going to build, and this is where we're going to go, and this is how we're going to do it. It's flying by the seat of your pants every summer.
Well, you and I had a conversation last summer, and we talked about the transfer window and what United would need this summer. And we said back then, when United get to a point where they only need one or two players and not complete overhaul of a squad, 5-6, 4-5-6, that's when you know this is a Manchester United team that's almost there. But once again, we're talking about key positions all the pitch. Let's go through United's team really quick. How many positions would you say are nailed down, settled? David De Gea, nailed down, settled. Left back, nailed down, settled? No. Centre back, no idea.
No clue. No clue from game to game which two it's going to be.
Right back?
Yes, because there's nobody else.
Maybe Valencia, maybe Dalot. We don't know. Right? Valencia made club captain 2 weeks ago, criticised the condition he came back in.
Which, by the way, the club or the manager sets the report dates.
Yeah.
So by saying he's had too much holiday, well, you told him when to report back. So.
And I think they're complaining about the condition he reported back in. But let's talk about midfield. How many of the midfield are settled?
Matic.
You would say Matic, right? Pogba. Yeah, most likely.
You would hope to say Pogba, but
there's uncertainty.
Really? Right? We'll talk about uncertainty about a £90 million football.
On the wings?
No clue.
No clue. Well,
No, I mean,
I don't. I don't have a clue. Is it Martial? Is it going to be Rashford? Is it going to be Mata? I don't know. Is it going to be Sanchez? Maybe Sanchez.
Sanchez wide. Is Sanchez and Sanchez his best position? He's just off a front man. So, I mean, Sanchez is nailed on to play somewhere. But I don't know where.
So what we're talking about here, Lukaku. Well, obviously, he's the only striker the club has.
As is the only striker we have in the club.
Which is just ridiculous.
I'm blown.
Absolutely ridiculous. Right? So here we have... So we're
By that, I mean recognised striker, because we cannot call Rashford a recognised striker because he's not had a constant run of games. I mean, yes, he is and could well be. But until you're willing to give him, you know, give him a role and let him go, then we don't know.
All right. So we're talking about a team that in 2 years, it's very difficult to point towards the on-the-field progress that Mourinho has brought to United and saying, look, Van Gaal was a disaster. But in terms of league positions and points and what have you, it just hasn't been good enough. And it's not good enough to watch. There's very few settled positions. And United are welcome to turn around and say, Jose, you spent 300 million plus, mate. How many of that 300 million would you say has been put to good use? I know it's not your fault what transfers cost, but let's just look at the players you've sent. How many would go for more than what you bought them for? Yeah. None of them. Right? Maybe buy. I don't know. So, all right, let's look at the transfers, Martin, and what could potentially happen. You mentioned Harry Maguire there. So, again, in slight defense of Jose Mourinho, Maguire, United inquired about Maguire back prior to the World Cup in May. And he's about sixth on the list. So there's a list of defenders that are ahead of him. United inquired about him, but he's not number one priority. So, of course, the price jumped. I don't think Harry Maguire will ever be at Manchester United. I think United was probably sent a central defender. And maybe Alderweireld, who's down to the last year of his contract, who Tottenham, I think, would sell. And I think
they would sell based on the fact that he was down in the last year of his contract.
But the problem here, Martin, is when you leave transfers the last week of the window, the price never goes down. The price goes up. Right? And they will capitalise on United's desperation. So yeah. I think they badly, badly need another white player. The Martial situation is a disgrace. It's ridiculous. And you've got the situation with Paul Pogba, who's not happy. These are key players, and I fear, Morten, I fear that what goes on inside United is that these players will get Mourinho the sack because he's so detested. But go back to transfers. I think you'll see another defender come in. The Sandro situation, of course, United liked him. They inquired about him, but they weren't willing to pay the price that Juventus wanted for him. Juventus held firm. They thought Juventus would come down. They wanted Darmian. They just spent the money on Ronaldo, but they didn't, and they ended up keeping him. And so we move on. And
it's all too familiar.
Yeah. It's the same with Milinkovic-Savic. United inquired about him, didn't like the price. To be fair, they may have a point, but walked away. But if you want world-class footballers, you have to pay for them.
Well, yeah, and you've got to prioritise. Look, you're not going to give them 500 million, right? You're not going to give them 400 million. Plain and simple. It's like, you know, where are you going to put that money to best use? Because this is Manchester United, so tack on another 10, 20 million, period. That's life. Deal with it. Like you say, transfer fees don't mean a thing to me, period. It's a silly figure now. It's a make-believe figure. You know, when you're talking about a potential Maguire going for 60, 70 million. Look, he's a centre-back. Mm-hmm. Van Dijk, 75 million. It's outrageous. Mm-hmm. Fred, can't get into Brazil. He's not a couple of handful of appearances for the national team paying 50-odd million. So forget the figure. But what you do have to remember is that there's a cap somewhere. You don't have an open checkbook where you can spend whatever you want to spend to whatever it costs for a player. So you do have to prioritise. Mm-hmm. And you know what, if they thought badly enough that the area we need strengthening the most is to get somebody next to Matic to really free up Paul Pogba, yes, I know we've heard that time and time again. Milinkovic-Savic, wonderful, wonderful footballer. Saw it again in the World Cup. Well, what do they want? 100 million for him? Well, look, you pay it or you don't. How bad do you want him?
Right.
How bad do you want him? Look, we don't want him. We're not prepared to spend that because we know, you know, at most 250 million we're going to get, so we have to put that money to better use. You know, because transfer fees are what they are. It doesn't mean because you know, one player costs 100 million, now your transfer kitty can go up to a billion pound. That doesn't work like that. There's still X amount of money that's going to be set aside for transfers. And forget about fees. This is the amount you spend, you know, and then let's figure out where it's going to be put to better use. Left-sided player, we were desperate for. That seemed like he was number one target. Last year, Perisic was there. We haggle over 5 million. We lose out on him. And then this year, we're going to end up spending more on Fred, a position on a player that could well be a very, very good player, but you've paid more money for somebody who is not a seasoned international. So the whole process is just completely out of whack and just a shambles.
One of the other problems is internally. I'm trying to say there's been communication internally to Mourinho that one of the problems is the exchange rate with the debt, and the debt has to be paid. Exchange rate is terrible. It has to be paid in dollars. Glazers want their slice. So United's debt goes up based on the exchange rate, obviously, and how much they owe. And so there's financial restrictions at United. United can only spend the money once. So the some of the blowback United deserve, because Ed Woodward is coming out and saying things that are just patently untrue, to say that you can do things in the transfer market other people can't. These are things that where he's just demonstrated his naivety and not realised that these things will come back to haunt you. Football fans will never forget something like that. Look, Peter Kenyon said in the week that United were trying to send Ronaldinho, this is a cash-rich football club and we can spend that other clubs can't. Well, it turns out that's not true. And when you promise, over-promise and under-deliver, then you get blowback. And that's part of what United are doing. But there's a statement coming out from Woodward that would be quite concerning. It was mentioned a few years ago about how Liverpool's lack of on-field success has never hurt them commercially. And that gives you an idea of how United's board sees on-the-field competition. Look, our goals are business goals. Top four will do. And fans will fight amongst themselves about what can't, because of course it's subjective as to what Manchester United's identity is, but and what we should tolerate. And I'm just a voice, I'm just an opinion. Other people disagree. I don't think what Mourinho produces is worth it's not, it's the juice isn't worth the squeeze. You're not getting trophies, you're not getting Premier Leagues, you're not even getting bragging rights. It's hard to see why you would persevere with it. Other potential signings, Martin. So some people claim United are back in for Perisic once again.
I tell you what, you're not.
They had the chance to get him a year ago.
I tell you what, that 45 million or whatever it last year, I'll guarantee you that's 70 or 80 now.
Yeah. So, do you see a left set of player coming in?
I don't even know. I don't know. I don't know what's coming in. It could be, you know, there's these lists with the incompetency and the Mourinho quotes. I could quite easily see a right back in coming in as a centre forward coming in. It just seems like there's no process and there's very little thought. We've got a list of players. If we don't get a centre back, I will go and get a right winger then. If we can't get a right winger, we'll get a left back. Mm-hmm. It just doesn't make any sense. If you want a left back and you've got three choices of left back, if you can't get one, you go for number two. You can't get two, you go for three. You don't all of a sudden switch your attention elsewhere. Fact remains, you need a left back. If Luke Shaw, I still fail to believe that Luke Shaw is going to be the answer under Jose Mourinho. I think he could be the answer, but I don't think it's ever going to work under Jose Mourinho with him. Obviously, Dalot, you know, I fail to believe that he's going to be able to come in and make a huge difference for, you know, this year. Now, that's certainly a signing for the future. He seems like a really likable kid. I love the fact that he speaks fluent English. Looks to be a bit of a character. I hope that's not completely drained out of him with the misery of the boss. I would say that there's got to be a centre back. I mean, with all the names that have been banged around about centre backs, from Maguire, Alderweireld, that the boy at Barcelona, his name escapes me. But you would think a centre back, I think, is will come in. I think the
and talk about Umtiti.
Maybe him too. Who is he? I was thinking.
Barcelona,
it was a younger boy. Anyway, maybe he wasn't Barcelona. I would say a centre back is going to come in, and I would say.
Oh, you're talking about Yerry Mina.
Mina. Yeah. Sorry, yeah.
All right.
we're going to massively overspend for, because now clubs aren't stupid. Clubs know we're desperate, and, and clubs know that, you know, there's a massive uncertainty of who's going to play at centre back from week to week for United. So, but we're going to get milked for all it's worth again, and blow 20-30 million
just on Mina, Martin, and Rebic.
Rebic was the other one. That's right.
I'm speaking to people at United, his name has never once come up. Ever. Neither of them have ever come up as potentials. That's not to say there's no truth in any of it, but it hasn't come up. And this is one of the problems with doing this transfer info stuff. Things are so fluid. Jurgen Klopp said it yesterday. He goes, you asked me today about a signing and I'm going to give you an answer, but tomorrow might change. This is the problem, is that it always changes. Even by the time you've said what you've said, it's changed. And the game of cat and mouse between agents and managers and clubs. And what you just said there, I don't know who's coming in, is the only honest answer anybody can give. Because nobody knows. And I don't even think Mourinho knows.
But do you understand what I'm saying? I mean, it's not like, you know, we target a left back and we have an A, B and a C. Mm-hmm. It's just seeming like we have a transfer target here. Right, if we don't get in, we'll shift positions over there. Then we'll shift. So nothing's really, there's nothing getting done. It's like the wheels are just spinning. It's been on a hamster wheel, isn't it? And we're having the same conversation now that we had last year, that seven positions are probably uncertain in this team.
Well, before we go, Martin, I want to bring something up that I mentioned earlier in the show, where I said it's not the first time United have been criticised coming to America with understrength teams. In 2004, I have an article in front of me here, and I'll read a bit too. 2004, United were slaughtered for not bringing their first team players out. They didn't bring the likes of Van Nistelrooy, they didn't bring Scholes. They left the vast majority of the first team at home. There was a Copa America, I think there was a Euros after that. Let me read this to you really quick. After an uncharacteristic change of mind, Ferguson will bring over Sylvester, Saha, Van Nistelrooy, Scholes, Carrick, and to save their, in quotation, reputation in America. This decision wasn't taken reluctantly. It was taken reluctantly. Has revealed just how important United regard the commercial impact in the States. I want to read to you Alex Ferguson's comments regarding this. This, by the way, United said they were surprised by the response of fans and sponsors after they fielded a team of mainly youth and reserve players against Bayern Munich in Chicago last Sunday. It was $160 a ticket. And the sponsors have asked Ferguson to call up four internationals. Some sections of the 58,000 crowd at Soldier Field booed, and there was stinging criticism in the Chicago newspapers. All four players have been told they could miss the tour after playing in the Euros. Let me read you Ferguson's comments on this. This is Fergie, quote, "There's been a lot of criticism of the team we put out. I wish I could have put out a better one, but there was just no way I could do it. The people here want to see the stars. I don't think they understand why I would leave a player like Van Nistelrooy behind, but we don't want them to think we're being blasé about having 67,000 people come see us and 72,000 people in New York. If we bring them over, it will probably be just for half an hour. You may say it's a waste of time for them to come over one day and then go back the next day, but they'd fly first class. It's only a 6.5-hour journey to the East Coast of the United States, and it might be worth our reputation over here." Ferguson went on to say, about their tour, "It's been successful. Last year it was an easy decision to come back, but when we made that decision, we didn't know about the Copa America tournament. Then we picked up injuries, which meant some players weren't able to join us. I feel for the fans who come to watch the games. They are entitled to see the best United players, but it's hard for them to understand the difficulties I have in presenting them to that. The game against Bayern, Martin, had two first team players in it, Roy Keane and Alan Smith. The rest was made up of Chris Eagles, Bardsley, Juric, Paul McShane, what have you." Mm-hmm. Now, there's a way of Ferguson. Ferguson didn't say, "I wouldn't pay to come watch them. This isn't my team." Didn't lay into the kids. Didn't blame the kids. Didn't turn around the American fans and say, "Go to the beach instead." He tried to explain the situation. Right? There wasn't a single player criticised. There wasn't a single... You know, of course you can say you want to put out a better team. That's fine. But he hasn't turned around and savaged these kids the way Mourinho did. That shows it's not the first time a United manager's come here. Nobody cares really about the results. So stop being fast focused on the results.
Yeah, but it's nothing to do with that.
But these games are important for players. Jesse Lingard's breakout really came the year United came here, if you remember, under Van Gaal when they beat Barcelona. You think we were up watching it in Santa Clara, Martin?
Santa Clara,
yeah. And that was really the moment that Lingard forced his way into Van Gaal's plans and made a name for himself that season. These games were important for players, important for Andres Pereira, right? So it is important in that sense, not important in terms of results. Mourinho just grossly mishandled the situation. And again, like I said, this is about advertising for another job. Before we go, Martin, you anything else to say, mate?
Well, only that, you know, with that Jose's comments on, I wouldn't pay to watch this. Well, I've got news for you, Jose. They're not paying to watch you play. Because look at that attendance. If you look at that attendance up there, and yes, okay, in Michigan, which was, by the way, United fans vastly outnumbered by Liverpool fans, which is no surprise. Liverpool don't come here so often, and you know, the small success, shall we say, that Liverpool had, but the feeling's good amongst the fans. United fans are starting to stay away even in the States a little bit now. Exactly. American sport is very, very expensive, but then they'll go and watch it. But you know, they won't blow their money. They're not stupid. They won't throw the money away. The price of the tickets to go and watch these pre-seasons, yes, you know, it was a World Cup year, so some of the attendances are going to be affected by that. But comments like he's saying are certainly not going to adhere themselves to the casual fan over here, shall we say. Now, the hardcore fans will be there, but even those, I mean, myself included, you know, it's the first tour I've missed. I just wasn't prepared this year to go and spend 9-10 days on the road.
At a huge financial cost to yourself.
Massive cost. And then for us to sit in a press conference and listen to that and show, yeah, you shouldn't have come. I wouldn't have come to watch that. Well, that's just kind of, you know, rubbing it in our faces a little bit. And as a fan, I didn't appreciate those comments. But hey, we'll see what happens. Hopefully, you know, he gets one or two of his signings. But if he does, then, you know, these excuses are wearing thin and, you know, they don't hold as much water anymore. But I'm not overly optimistic for this year. I think United could be really in with a struggle to make that top four. And I hate to say that. And, you know, we'll grind out results, but I don't see massive improvement.
I would be surprised if we saw a happy Manchester United playing attacking football, because if everything about Mourinho suggests that that's not the mood behind the scenes. And look, I can't imagine being one of United's players hearing your manager say you shouldn't have paid in to watch it. I mean, I'm sorry, that was just disgraceful. And Charlie Stilettano, who spends millions to get these football clothes over here, a very, very good guy. I like Charlie a lot through Relevant Sports. And, you know, what must I say to him? But disappointing. Anyway, folks, thank you so much for tuning in to the first podcast this season. We will be back on a weekly basis. Keep the comments coming. Keep following us. I know we've been trying to work through one or two technical difficulties with our iTunes and SoundCloud matching up. Hopefully, we've got that sorted out. Thanks to all of you who have persevered with this. And Martin, I'll catch you later, mate.
Catch you later, mate. Hopefully next time we're a little bit more exciting and not so much doom and gloom.
Yes, we'll be back next week with the preview to the Leicester game. Cheers, folks. All the best.
Bye. See you.